Okay, we're picking up from the bottom line of Yud Gimel Amud Bey's words of Amar Rebbe Abba. The Gemara is continuing with the mashal about how Achashverosh also was wanted to kill Klal Yisrael. The Gemara continues down. The top of Yud Dalad Amud Aleph mashal. What is the example of Haman Achashverosh? What is that comparable to? Again, quoting the Pesukim before that we just said, that also Achashverosh had a desire to destroy Klal Yisrael. So Gemara says, L'shnei b'nei Adam le'echad haya lo tail betoch sadeo. There was two people. One person had a tail, had like a pile, usually pile of dirt over here, in his field. L'echad haya l'charitz betoch sadeo. Another person had a ditch in his field. Comparison over here, Achashverosh is the one who had the mound, and Haman is the one who had the ditch, and also, in reference to just not having the mound, he viewed Klal Yisrael as actually being a great nation. He wanted to take them down, but he viewed them as a greater thing. Haman viewed them as lowly and a ditch. So Gemara says, Bel Charitz Amar, so the owner of the ditch said to himself, Mi etainli tel ze bedamim. I wish the owner of the mound would give me this mound in exchange for payment so I could fill my ditch. And Bala Telomer, the owner of the mound, also, Mi etainli Charitz ze bedamim, how much would the ditch give me to use this in exchange for my payment so I could remove the mound from dirt and I could use my regular field at that point. So each one basically needed the other. And what happens, the Amun is Dav Gazel, and the two men came and met each other. Amarlo Bal Charitz Leval Asel. So the owner of the ditch said to the owner of the mound, "Mechorli teilecha amrlo tolosa bechinam v'alavai." So he said, "Can you sell me your mound?" He says, "No, I want to get rid of this dirt. Take it for free, and it would be good." So therefore, Achashverosh and Haman both want to destroy Klal Yisrael. When Haman offered him the money, Achashverosh said, "I don't even need any payment. I wanted to get rid of them." Again, he also viewed them on a higher level. That was just the hara about the mound and the ditch. But they both are basically just showing the mashal, the parable is basically just showing us that they both wanted to get rid of Klal Yisrael, and it was a convenient partnership for both of them. Now the Gemara continues with quoting Pesukim, Gila v'yasra ha-melech es ta'abasoy. The king removed his signet ring. Amar Rabbi Abba Barkana, G'doyla asaras tabas, yosem rabbi mishmon neviyem v'sheva neviyos shinstablu le'en l'Yisrael. That Achashverosh removing this signet ring, which Haman was eventually going to have the decree, in which he was going to say that on Yud Gimel they can kill all the Yidden, that was a more effective for Klal Yisrael doing tshuva than the 48 Nevi'im and the 7 Nevi'os. We're going to see that moment from Rashi, who they were. Shekulan lo echzir lamuta, because all of them only temporarily had been able to make Klal Yisrael at best do tshuva, sometimes not even at all. But over here, this Gezira, we know that it says that whenever any area that heard about how badly the king's decree was, right, it says, Evel Gadola Yudim Tzon V'chiyum Isper, I think the Lashonos of the Pesukim are, and it says that everybody was doing tshuva. People, Asak Ve'ifer, where they were wearing, where they were wailing, they were davening, they were doing tshuva. And this was an entire Kimlu V'kiblu afterwards, also led to the great rejuvenation of Klal Yisrael, b'mekabel the Torah me'ava, and that great thing was all came about through Haman's decree, which is something that all the Nevi'im together were not able to do. Ve'ilu hasaras tabaz yichzir in the mutav. Whereas this ring again had been able to do. Obviously, they do tshuva temporarily during the times of the Nevi'im, but it wasn't more of a permanent thing that still exists. And with the kimlu kiblu of the bekabel purim be'ava and the kabbalah satorah that we have of be'ava, that is all something which only existed because due to the fact of Haman's decree. So the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, "Tanu rabbanu, we learn in a brisa." There are 48 Nevi'im, prophets, and 7 women who are also women prophets who prophesied for Klal Yisrael. None of them added any mitzvahs. And the Marsha just gives an example, let's say like Erev. You say that that Shlomo HaMelech already was misaking the idea of Erev. We say bracha on the Erev. I'm talking about over here the concept of Erev Chatzeros. Let's say not Erev Tashin, but Erev Chatzeros, about you have a group of courtyard together, making them into one Rishon or Rishus Yachid so that you don't carry into Rishus Rabbim. That's only protecting a mitzvah an Isser Doraisa of carrying in the Rishus Rabbim on the level of Doraisa. So that's just that's a fence around the Torah. None of those are protective measures. None of those are going to be, even though there's an active mitzvah, Ki'ilu, and you make a bracha and you put together the food together and you make everyone into Rishus Yachid, that is still something that's protecting Be'etzem, still there to safeguard a din d'oraisa. However, Mikra Megillah, which is just totally kokulo, a new inherent mitzvah, that is a new mitzvah. And that is considered something which was added by the Nevi'im. Now the obvious question is, what about Hanukkah candles? What do you mean? What, lighting Hanukkah candles is also a mitzvah that's added. Those are classic, the two mitzvahs of Rabbanan. Again, all the mitzvahs are included with Purim. The 4 mitzvahs of Purim, the eating and all those. But the Suda, right? Mishalach Manos, Matanos Lavionim. But Be'etzem, the idea of Purim and Mikra Megillah, Megillah. So Rashi already addresses this question. Rashi just points out that at the end of the day, that was done during after the time of Nevuah. We didn't have Nevuah at the time of Chanukah, and it was a very special mitzvah that we did, and there were remazim to it, and right, we see very greatly about the mitzvah of Chanukah, but we're referencing here specifically things that were added by Nevi'im. We see Mordechai was a Navi, so that was something that that was done during the Nevi'im, and that was a mitzvah that was added. Now the Gemara says, "My darish." So how are they able to increase the mitzvah of reading Megillah? Why isn't it Baltosif? So they learned it from a Kavachomer. Now, if the Jews who left Egypt, that's what Rashi understands. That others have kasha on that. How could you say that there's reference to specifically saying Shira of Shiras Hayam, the Shira of Az Yashir? But either way, they said Shira. Others want to explain it means Halo, but let's just assume it means Shiras Hayam, and it means Bishalach. Like Rashi explains Mimisa Lachaim Lakoshikin. So then we're about to have a death at the hands of Achashverosh, and we brought life. So then we should have a also our own version of the Shira. So the Gemara says, Yahachiri halo nami neima. So why don't we also say halo on Purim? Why are we saying, we just showed Raya that it's appropriate to say, Shiras B'Shalach. So then also halal, which is also a Shira of praising Akash Baruch Hu, is also appropriate to say on Purim. So the Gemara says, so why not? Lafisha in oimim halal al neisu b'chutzart. So the first answer the Gemara suggests right now is because we don't say halal on a miracle that happened outside of Eretz Yisrael. That we see, the Marsha points out, that in Eretz Yisrael, Hashemash Gacha is just so much stronger that it's not even appropriate, even a miracle that's happening, only done by ministering angels, right? The Gemara says that it's through Mazalos in Chutzaretz, and Eretz Yisrael, Hashem himself, Ki'ilu, is more involved, directly involved with the day-to-day life of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, so here also, that's why it's not less appropriate. Even a miracle that happens in Chutzaretz is not as strong as a miracle that happens in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Yetzir Tzifrayim, the next Chutzaretz, Hechem, and sure, but wait a second, according to your logic, for the whole shiur that we said, in the halal that we say on Pesach, the first day of Pesach, thinking of Kadosh Baruch Hu from saving us from Egypt, that is chutz aretz, obviously. So the Gemara says, no, Kiddushana, we learn it in Hebraica. Before they came into Eretz Yisrael, then it was appropriate for anywhere a miracle happened to say Shira and to say Halal. However, Mishchanu Eretz Yisrael, once we came into Eretz Yisrael, lo echshiru l'kol Eretz Yisrael Shira, that Kal Yisrael, it was no longer appropriate to say Shira. And again, the Marsha explains this point also, that once Kal Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael again, then Hashem was more present, Ki'ilu, in Eretz Yisrael. And then in Chutz Aretz it was considered less of a miracle. However, before he had entered, then Hashem was with Kal Yisrael then also. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman gives another pretty famous answer. Amar Kriyasa Zohi Lula. No, the fact that we're reading the Gilab, that is our halal. We're praising Hashem. It's a fascinating thing. Where do we see the halal of the Hodah? And we also see the mentioning of Kadosh Baruch Hu all of zero times in the Megillah. But that's the whole idea, is that we're supposed to recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu through the Nistar, that the Hashem is good. That's the Galus type of miracles that we're going to. Hashem is with us every day and doing crazy miracles. We have to see it. Open our eyes and see how much Hashem is doing for us. That's the Kriyasas of Allah Halilullah. There's a famous Shita of the Meiri. I don't remember if we pass in Halacha al-Maisa, but it is no Gea. There's the famous Shita in the Uri uses this, the Halacha al-Maisa. The Meiri says, let's say a person is in whatever, he got stuck in a certain area and he has no Megillah. So Zek the Meiri, that you'll say, I remember an Evan Sol's son like to ask us trivia questions. So this is one of them. He says, where could you say Halal at night? When is it Shaykh to say Halal at night? So obviously, answer, you started saying Leila Seder. And then there's another one also besides this one. I forgot the other one. But anyway, those are fun trivia. So then he quoted the Shita of the Meiri that says that if you don't have a Megillah, you'll say Halal. Say Halal instead with a bracha, full Halal. So I think Lamaisa, the poskim do done this. I remember seeing, I forgot what Schaefer was discussing this, Halacha Maisa. I think he said he came out to say that you could say it without a bracha. I don't think we go all the way with this Meiri and say that you could say Halal with Shema Malchus and a bracha, but I do think that it is said that you could say the full Halal with, or is it Shaila even? Chatzi Halal, full Halal. I have to check again. But this is a very fascinating answer over here of the Gemara. The Gemara says, wait a second, Rav Amar Bishlam, Mahasam, and I understand why it's important to say Halal, because Egypt, it says Halal Avdei Hashem, when we say in the Halal, Lashon is one of the things we say, Halal Avdei Hashem, give praise, we're the servants of Hashem. Okay, in the moment that we're saved, we're servants of Hashem. And now, Velo Avdei Paro, which is coming to exclude Paro, that we're no longer slaves to Paro. Elahachab, with regards to the miracle of Purim, Halalu Avdei Hashem, we're servants of Hashem, that's not true. Beloved Achashverosh, We're still servants of Achashverosh even after this miracle. So Rava is agreeing fundamentally with Rav Nachman that theoretically halal is allowed to be said in the miracle of Purim, even though it's outside of Eretz Yisrael. However, his kasha is that this pasuk is in the halal itself, lechaura, should be a problem with saying halal on Purim. So the Gemara says, "Bein the Rava, bein the Rav Nachman kasha." By the way, both of them fundamentally agreed. You could say halal and chutzarts lechaura. That's a kasha. How did they say that? So the Gemara says that veha tanya b'shinul Eretz Yisrael lochshur klotz the marshira. It's a brisa. Again, it's a Tanaic source which is telling us that only once they went into Eretz Yisrael, it was when they came into Eretz Yisrael, it's no longer appropriate to say halal and a miracle that happened in chutzarts. The Gemara answers no. Kevan shegalu chazer lochshur rishon. The Gemara answers no. Since we went into galus, that was only while we were in Eretz Yisrael. As we pointed, the marshira pointed it out that Hashem's shechita was stronger in Eretz Yisrael at that time, and the mazal was in the chutzarts. However, when all of Klal Yisrael, we went to Galus, and the pasuk says, "Ami anochi b'tzara." The pasuk says in Tehillim, which is Hashem is with us, ki'ilu b'tzara. That Hashem, the Shechina Kaviyachol, also goes into Galus with us. So therefore, a miracle that happens in Chutzarts after the point we go to Galus, it might be appropriate and a chanami to say Halel in Chutzarts as well. So for miracles, now the Gemara says, "Vesulik." Wait a second. There's only 48 Nevi'im that we know about. There were way more than that. The Gemara says, "Vaksi va'i shechan rishonim tzoyfim." It says that this was reference to Elkanah, right? The one who married Techada ended up fathering Shmuel. So it says that he was from Masayim Tzofim. The Gemara has a drasha. He was one of the 200 ones who were prophesizing during that time to Klal Yisrael. This was during his generation alone. Now you're telling me there's only 48 Nevi'im altogether for always? So the Gemara says, Mia Hatuva Havu. So there was way more. There was 48 Nevi'im. Way more than 48 Nevi'im, because they sent a harp in Nevi'im, Amdala Mishael, Kuflaim Kiyot Mitzrayim. Not only that, there was double the amount of those who left Egypt, no 600,000. So at least 1.2 million Nevi'im during our time of Nevu'ah. There was thousands of Nevi'im per generation, maybe. Elosh and Nevu'ah Shetuchel Doris Nechlev is a pretty famous answer for the Gemara now, that a prophecy that's netted for generations. So we learned Tanakh. It wasn't necessarily the only prophets who were even living at their times. There were many more prophets living at their times. However, these prophecies were going to inspire Tshuva. Their messages are relevant now as they were ever. So as we see how godless of Tanakh, how important it is to learn. The messages are not just something that existed then. But those nevuos are extremely relevant for us. These messages and the ideas are extremely relevant. That's why they were kilu canonized and part of the Chavdal Tifrei Tanakh that we know Abizman Azeh, because they were Tuchel Doros and we should be learning from them. Shalot Tuchel Doros, however, other Nevi'im that said things, even they may have talked to the kings and they said things for Klal Yisrael for the future, but there's no lessons learned from it for our points, were not written down, and therefore there were many more, but the 48 had the Iker messages that were ended up being written down. Rashi quotes Alachas Gedolos and quotes the Nevi'im. He goes through all of them. Let me quickly say them. They just need to know them. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yoshua, Pinchas, up to Elkanah, Eli, Shmuel, up to 10 now. Gad, Nasan, David, Shlomo, Ido, Michael ben Yimla, Avadia, Achia, Shulanis, Yehu, Azariah ben Oded, Chaziel, Halevi, Eliezer ben Dodvayu, Hoshea, then we have Amos, Micha, Amots, Eliyahu, Elisha, Yonah ben Amisai, Yeshayahu, Yoel, Nachum, Chavakuk, Tzafania, Uriah, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Rashi at the end says Shmaria, Baruch, Neria, Shiria, who else? We had Rashi quotes it, Malachsaya, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, and Mordechai. Mordechai. So then Rashi says he doesn't know the other two as everyone goes around and trying to figure out the others figure out. Rashi quotes 46 of the 48. The other two, he says he's not exactly sure which they were. Obviously, he had other contentions, so they might be, but he wasn't sure. There being a chanel, a little bit of a different number. But either way, those are the 48 Nevi'im that our Mishnah has. Now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Shmuel Mar Nachmani Amar. So what is this lashon going just back to what we said? We're talking about Ramasayim Tzofim. Adam Ababashte Ramos Shetofa Zozeh. He came literally from an area which is two mountains that were ki'ilu watching each other. Apparently, two mountains near each other, facing each other. That's what the lashon of Ramasayim Tzofim is. Now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Chanin Amar Adam Abba Mimnei Adam Shom Debrimu Shalolam. No, he came from people who come from very lofty lineage. Right? He has very good yichus. My niyug bnei Korach, the sons of Korach, and even Korach himself was a very lofty person. He just had his mind and his screw, a couple of screws missing of what was important in life, but he was a very great person. That's also one of the things Rashi goes to this, would lead him to believe he was never going to lose this rebellion, because he had Nevu, he was a shtickle, it wasn't through the 48 Nevi'im obviously, but he was a shtickle Navi, and he saw that the Shmuel, the great Shmuel is going to be, who's compared to Moshe Aaron, is going to be coming from him. So he didn't have in mind that his children are going to do tshuva. That's actually what happened over here. As the pasuk says, the children of Korach did not die. Just like parenthetically, the children of Korach did not die. So Tana Mishum Rabbeinu, we learn in the name of Rabbi Yonasi, welcome this batzilam begenem amdu Allah, because they did tshuva right before the time. They realized that they made a big mistake. They did tshuva before the earth was opening up. Hashem ended up miraculously saving them from Gehenem, and he placed them in an area above the earth, and they were saved. It's miraculously, and this is a very good miracle, and they ended up probably doing full tshuva. Big tzaddikim, and they ended up being zochah to have Shmuel, one of the holiest neviim we ever have, was coming from them. So the Gemara says, Sheva neviyos ma'ninu. Who are the seven women prophets? Sarah, Miriam, Devorah, Chana, Abigail, Chulda, Esther. So it's a lot easier to know who they are. The Gemara tells us beforehand who these seven are. Sarah, how do I know that Sarah is a nevuah? Dechsev, Avi Milkah, ve'Avi Yiska. She was the father of Milkah and the father of Yiska. So that's a pasuk reference to Sarah. So Gemara says, "Vamar Yitzchak Yiska is Sarah." Yitzchak is actually Yiska is a reference to Sarah. Velamani Kroshma Yiska. Why she called Yiska? She saw the Baruch HaKodesh because she saw the holy things. Ruach HaKodesh. She saw Ruach HaKodesh. Never I call Asher Tamar Lecha Sarah Shema Bekayla. That Sarah was right for kicking out Yishmael, and that was her nevuah was higher than Rashi quotes over there, famous midrash that her nevuah was higher than that of Avram. Devar Achar Yiska she calls Solchem Rifiofia. Another answer of Yiska. Everyone grazed how beautiful she was. But according to the first invitation, we see that she had a higher level of nevuah than Avram Avinu. Now the Gemara says, how do we know about Miriam? Miriam, dechsev, atikach, Miriam, adivia, achos, aaron. So the Miriam knew, she took the achos, aaron. She was the sister of Aaron. Why not Moshe? But achos, Moshe shouldn't be also a big praise that this is talking about at the time of Beshalach, that she said, Shir Lashem, Shir Lashem. Oh, right, so what does it mean that she took? Why she called only specifically the sister of Moshe would be a big compliment for her as well. The verse number, Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, Shaisa Misnabek, Shia Chois Aaron. Because she was Zocha to Nevuah when she was the sister of Aaron, before Moshe was even born. She had Nevuah, and her Nevuah told her that there was going to be a son who was going to save Klal Yisrael. And when Moshe was born, that was one of the ideas. We just read this week's Parsha. What was it? Vayar Ki Tov. So this is one of the interpretations that she saw that the whole area that her mother, Yochevet, had seen, the whole house was filled with light. Amar Aviyah v'nishkal roisha, so then the father was so happy, he kissed her on her head. Amar La, v'nishkam nevuah seich, your prophecy had been fulfilled. She saw how beautiful Moshe was, he was such a light, he was such a kedusha, such a kadosh person, and they realized that. V'kevat sheshichal yobah, then they were forced by Paro's decree to throw into the river. Amar v'tiv tevcha roisha, he gave her a little bit of a patch on the head. He said, Amar La, biti eich nevuah seich, where is your prophecy? Miriam was standing from a distance to see what was going to happen to Moshe. Not just to see what happened to Moshe, rather her prophecy. She was so convinced that Moshe Rabbeinu everything was going to be fine with him. She ran after him. She protected him, and eventually she was rewarded when she said Lashon Hara. They waited the whole Kol Yisrael waited 7 days to move for the fact that she had done this Maisa. Now the Gemara continues. Devorah. Devorah was a prophet from Ishes Lapidos. My Ishes Lapidos, what does it mean, the wife of Lapidos? She used to make wicks for the, wasn't the Beis HaMikdash at that time, it was still the Mishkan, but she made things for the Mishkan that was in Shiloh. V'yosheves tachas tamar. Why would she specifically, she was sitting judged. The pasuk says, V'yosheves tachas tamar devorah. Tomer Dvorah, Bein Ramasa, Bein Beisel, Bein Rafaim, Bayala, so Limishpat, she would judge people there. That's a whole Shiloh. Tosfos discussed this. How could she judge? You can't bring a raya from the fact that she's judging out over here. Tosfos and Gittin talks about this. Shem likes to quote 2 days of Tosfos, whether that would be the two answers, whether a woman could be a rabbi, as one is an Alpid Halacha, Pim Masorah anyway. We have a lot of problems with it, but if she's allowed to judge, then potentially she'd be able to pass on a Shiloh too. However, Tosfos says, don't bring a raya from here that she's a woman's allowed to judge, because either she was, for her specific case of Nevuah, or she was just guiding them, but Batsim was only, and it was only for her and not for anybody else. And because usually kol apostel lahayid would be also apostel ladun, and so how was she able to judge the whole shaila? Another question is ma'ishna tachas tamar. Why specifically was she sitting under a palm tree to judge everyone? The pasuk goes out of the way to tell us that she would judge people under palm trees. The Gemara says Amar Rav Shimon ben Shalom Mishum Yichud, because palm trees are very high up. And so therefore, the branches are clearly visible. Anyone who was coming there, it was a very open space. You didn't want to have any problems of Yichud. Davar Acher, another reason that she was specifically under the palm tree, because it was symbolizing the Jews of her generation. Matamar Echad, a palm tree only has one heart. Over here, the heart of the palm tree is the sap of the palm tree is from its trunk, where the sap of the other trees come from its branches. So it's only, that's a reference to the fact that it has one heart, Rashi points it out. So too, Af Yisrael Shabbos Ador Lo Yisam Ela Levachad La Aviyam Shal Shemayim. That Klal Yisrael, that generation, had their hearts only towards Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Chana, what do we learn? What's the right? The Chana was a nevuah. Dechsev Atispal Chana. We're talking about Alzabi Hashem Ranakum Hashem. This is her shira. I remember the Vilna Gaon in his parish over there to Chana. The Vilna Gaon talks like how like the whole world could be summed up from these 10 psukim from the beginning of creation till Yimos HaMashiach. So he speaks very highly about this beautiful song that she said after Shmuel was born. So the Gemara is going to be Dorish over here. So my horn is exalted Hashem. Rama Karni below Rama Rana Pachi. That my horn is exalted but not my flask. What's the difference between a flask and a pach? David is so much in Shabbat Karen. So she was prophesizing that David is someone who are going to be anointed with a horn, a Karen of oil. That's the Lashonos and the psukim there. So then it's going to be their reign is going to continue, and they'll be able to. It's not going to be mafsik. However, Shaul v'Yehu shemshichu bepach. Shaul and Yehu, when they were made as king, they only had a flask of oil. Lo nimshichu machusan. Their reign is not going to continue. And again, there's much deeper ideas about a flask versus a pach, different things. So the market is ain a pach versus rather a karen, all different things. Ain kadosh b'Hashem kein b'altecha. Amar Avida ben Asher. Once we're darshing the other things from Chana's tefila, al tikra b'altecha ela livlosecha. There's nothing that survives you. The nature of Hashem is different than fundamentally the nature of a person. Midas basar v'adam, ma'isi yada machlein also. A person can create things, and his work will outlive him. People will see, you know, Rembrandt and other lahavdil alfeldalos, but things that people are choosing. A person can make tefillin lahavdil also sefer Torahs. Those last generations, as opposed to himself, will die eventually before is even what he makes. Hakadosh Baruch Hu mechala v'isasi dav Hakadosh Baruch Hu. He will outlive the things that he makes, obviously. Vein sorke elokedu, and there is no rock like Hashem. And the rock of it is reference to Hashem. Ain't sayar ke elokeinu. There is no artist like Hashem. Adam tartur al gabe akoisel ve'inu yachal atil baruch Hashem akavim ayam. A person makes a picture. He can't make it. He can't make a person. However, Kadosh Baruch Hu tartur b'sof tura. He makes a form within another form. He creates a child inside of a mother. What an amazing thing! Matzal baruch Hashem akavim ayam. And this thing itself is able to breathe, able to live. An unbelievable miracle of birth. We see Chana was a Nevi'ah. This point was just the Agav Drasha about her nice ideas from the Pesukim of her Tefillah. Avigail, Dichsev Ayah, Hi Rocheves Al Chamar V'Yedos B'Seisir Ahar. She was riding on the mountain. And there, that was the whole story. When she was married to Nevil, he's a very bad guy. David asked him for food. He was already king at this point. He says, "Who's Ben Yishai?" And he was going to kill him for being more of Malchus and Tzalacha. So she was coming to appease David. So Beseser Har Minahar Bibayalei. What do you mean Beseser Har? She said Minahar Bibayalei from the mountain. She said from the mountain. So the Gemara says Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel Al Iske Dam Abba Min Astarim. That this specifically, Avigail's meeting David was involving blood that comes from Dam Nida. She had a shaila about Dam Nida, whether it was going to be Tame or Tara. So what did she do? Not La Dam, Mir La Harlo. She wanted the Dam and wanted to see it. Shaila, if it was going to be shade, it was going to be Tame. So she did this, we're going to see it for a purpose. So David immediately responds, and David says, again, well, first of all, just to point out that when it comes to the Dam Nida, we don't know the Bikim and shades, but not every shade is going to be Tameh. There's different things that are Tameh and Tahar. So Amar Levi Chimar and Dam Balayla, wait a second. You gotta be, it's nighttime, I shouldn't be allowed to examine the blood. That's a whole shiloh over there. That's Lechachila, we for sure rule that a person should not be, unless it's a pressing matter, we do not look at Maros Balayla. So the Gemara says, Amra lo, Evi Chidan and Dina Nefashos Balayla, so she responded to him. So just like David Melech responded rhetorically, you're not allowed to judge this Dam Nida at night. So she said, are you also allowed to be judging at night? So how are you going to convict Novos and Novel rather and put him to death? Amr Lass, and now David responded back to her, turning on to the next step. But no, Morid b'malchus hu v'lo tzarech l'midanei. That Novel is he is morid b'malchus. He's again. They asked him for food, and he responded, "Miza David, who's the son of Yishai? That was disgusting. I'm the king, and therefore I'm allowed to morid b'malchus. It's not the general halachas of a capital case. I'm allowed to kill without a beis din, and I'm allowed to kill under my will." So the Gemara says, I don't need a formal bastin. Amr lo adayin shaol kaim velo yatsa tevecha ba'olam. However, she said that the enachanami, that's not real. You're not a king yet because Shaul is still alive, and therefore people don't really know who you are fully, and you're not necessarily have the status of the king. Amr lo ubarach tamech bruch asher kelsani yomazem in bov dam. So David was actually impressed by the argument. David said, "Wow, good reasoning. That's a good reasoning, and thank you for preventing me from coming to shed blood unnecessarily and killing your husband." And Gemara says, what is damim tartimash? But David said to Avigail that saved them from two bloods, implying two cases of blood. So where was there only one? A killing of Nava. Why is he saying bedamim? So the Gemara says, Ela melamet shigil says shokav alach l'ora gimel parsos. Now that Abigail, by accident, and when she was walking, somehow her leg became revealed, and she was a very beautiful lady, and David Melech saw it. And so David came with her, three parcels, traveled her so far, because he was desiring to be with her. Amalei Hashmilei, he said, listen to me, to have relations with me. This should not be a stumbling block for you. And Abigail was telling him that this isn't going to be, I'm not going to let you do it. I only was saving my husband. I'm not coming to have you sin and do Gila Arayos. So the Gemara says, Zos, this isn't going to be bad for you. Implies that another occasion, David HaMelech will eventually actually stumble. The Gemara says, mind you, when is that? That was the case, the famous case of Maaseh Batsheva, when David had sinned with Batsheva, Uriah Chiti, and he took her unlawfully and had relations with her when she was still married. Maskana HaChahava, in the end, it was this way, right? That's actually what happened. So she was Nevuah. She had Nevuah. The Gemara says, now the Gemara just continues in Agav to mention the story of Abigail, that the soul of my master should be bound for life. So she took leave of him. She said, also, and God should deal with my master, and she'll remember me. That means when a husband dies, don't forget about me and she'll marry me, which in fact David is going to do. It's very interesting because maybe the Rama Shosa doesn't know why the Gemara brings this up. It's just part of the story. But you could say also, it's another raya that she was in Nebuah. She knew her husband was going to die, be killed, and then and eventually be able to marry David Melech. Amrav Nachman, or Nachman says, this is what people say, a common phrase that people say, itasa behade shosa pilcha. A woman talks, she's spinning fibers to make the yarn. And this is similar. While Abigail was speaking about her husband, she also mentioned something about herself, that she's taking care of her own needs as well. Others say that means a goose. It like stops, but it really is looking very far away. And this, even though Abigail was only concerned about the present, really she was looking for the future as well and taking care of the needs of the future as well. Now the Gemara is going to go on to Chulda. I don't know if Chulda was Nevi'ah. Dechsev, Elech Chalkiyah, Akoin, Vachikam, right? The Chalkiyah went. The Hemshech of the Pasuk says, "V'shavim v'asel as Chulda Hanaviyah." The Hemshech is a really important part over here that went with Chulda, and Chulda Hanaviyah calls her clearly that she was a woman prophet. So that she was, I don't know the English word for this, a prophetess, whatever it might be. In for the female version, I've just been calling the woman prophets. Either way, she's a prophet who's a woman. So now the Gemara just points out, "V'kum de kayirmiyah heichem isna ba'yehi." Wait a second, though. She was in Yirmiyahu. She was the time of Yirmiyahu. He was like the gadol ador. He was the person who was in charge of the prophecy during that time, during King Yoshiyahu, and. So then, Lechora, he was the main prophet. How did Chulda prophecies? How was she able to prophesize and do it? And apparently, that was insulting to Yirmiyahu. So the Gemara says, Amar Bei Rav Bishmei De Rav Chulda Kravas Yirmiyahu Haisav Alav Veis Makbrelea. No, he was a close relative of her somehow, and therefore, some say that she was. That they're both descendants of Rachav. Marsha quotes his braces somewhere. So either way, they were like cousins, whatever they were. So they were close. They were family, and therefore he wasn't makbid that she was giving this nevuah. The Gemara says though, Yoshia gufa hechi shavi girmiyah mishar legabe. But Yoshiyahu, why would he go? Because we see there are certain instances where he would go to Chulda. So how would he affront to Yirmiyahu and go to Chulda instead of her nevuah? So Gemara says, Amar devei Rav Shila, because nei shanashim rechmanios. And even though it may have been a little shekel affront, again he wouldn't have been so insulted. But Yoshiyahu went to the lower prophet because he knew that women are going to be more merciful. So what's the difference? So a person's not allowed to hold back their prophecy. So they explain, I think the Marsha brings this down, is that, yeah, the Marsha brings this down, they both explain that Ba'etem, that in a chanami, if they got a bad nevuah, women are very rachmanios. They have so much mercy on Klal Yisrael that they would cry out to Hashem like crazy until Hashem basically answered their tefillas and stopped the gzir, whatever nevuah they had done. Men also we daven, but not as much. We see that the Tversky has pointed out very nicely. Remember, he gave a shir on tefillah, and I think he was talking to women, but he was saying how, where do we all learn a lot of the halachas of Shemona Esrei? It's from Chana's tefillah. We see that naturally a woman, her tefillas and her acceptance of tefillas are more than a man. They're more naturally inclined to daven. They're more very special tefillahs. So just a chizuk and one's wife to give them time to make sure they have time to daven. The Gemara says, no, the Gemara now suggests another answer. Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yahu was not there because the 10 lost tribes, they were gone at a time, right, 30 years before I think the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Sancheriv came and was Mevalbel all of the 10 tribes. And how do you know Yirmiyahu was able to restore them? Pasuk says the seller should not return sale, meaning that they're still going to be Yovel. Is it possible that the observance of Yovel has already been suspended, and Yecheskel say that it's going to be? That the whole Chiddush of Yecheskel was saying that eventually the Yovel is not going to exist. But if you need the Shvatim to be in their places for Yovel to exist, and if you don't have that, you don't necessarily have Yovel. This is the Gemara's understanding over here. That's what I think we go with that. The Shemitah is something else, but Batem, so you don't have Yovel, because you don't have the Shvatim. But how are we telling us right now? Is the time already after the Aseret Shvatim Megalim? Elam and Lamech Yirmiyahu Efsiran. Rather, Yirmiyahu return the lost tribes. So there's an opinion, though. There's an opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva tells us that according to Rabbi Kiva and Sanhedrin tells us that the 10 lost tribes are never going to come back. So he means that he only took a very small percentage of them, but still, in Echanami, there are some. So that means it's a very, at least a nice thing for us. Now, it's not as that. We're assuming that really the Yud Beis Shvatim do exist. We still have Shimon, we still have Yisachar, we have those, all the Shvatim, Ephraim, and Asher, we have all them. It's just much smaller quantities that, you know, where, like, let's say 95% of us are from Yehuda, whereas, like, 5% make up the other entire 10 other tribes. But we do have everybody. I think Mark continues, Yashel ben Amon, Malach Aleim. After Yom return, Yashem Amram was ruling over them. So Yeshayahu was telling him, what is this? What do I see? What is this marker? What is this thing you're doing? What's this tombstone? Now, what is the Yoshiyahu, who was a king of Yehuda, have to do with the Beis El, which is was the land of the 10 tribes? The Gemara says, Elam Lamed, Yoshiyahu Melech Alehem. So the Yoshiyahu was ruling over the 10 tribes as well. That brings another proof. Rav Nachman Bar Hacha, Gam Yehuda Shas Akatsir L'Chabishu V'Shu V'Sami. Yehuda was there at the high priest time when I appointed the captivity of my people. Now the Gemara continues. Esther, how do we know Esther was a woman prophet? Esther Malchus, that she was on the third day. Esther joins over royalty. Big day Malchus Bele. What it should have said, it was royal garments. What is this lesson of Malchus? What Ella Shavsta Ruach Hakodesh? No, it's referring to the Lavsta as Malchus is Ruach Hakodesh. Chsiv Acha V'Tilbash and Chsiv Hasam V'Ruach Lavsta as Amasai. This is talking about in Divrei Yamim that Ruach is a Ruach of prophecy. So therefore, Esther was also showed the Megillah Esther, which had different prophecies also that we're never going to lose the Megillah, etc., those type of things. Okay, we'll pick up with Amar of Nachman in tomorrow's Daf Be'ezras Hashem.